we look at God's word together. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start with verse 15 here. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And we need, each one of us, need to make the most of every opportunity. And when I say we, I mean you and I. We need to make the most of every opportunity. Here in verse 16, making the most of your time, the King James actually uses the word redeeming the time. And I like that. I like the way that the King James phrases it there. And during this coming year that we're about to enter, what does it really mean to redeem the time? Well, to understand it, I think we need to look at a couple words here. We need to look at the word time, and we need to look at the word redeem. And time, and just like I think over the Christmas messages, I talked about there's four different words in the Greek for just the word love that's used in Scripture. Well, time in the Bible, we get three different words that are used in the Greek that tell us about time. You know, we've got, which is called hora, H-O-R-A, which just refers to the hour, translated means just the hour of time. We have the chrono, which we get chronological from that particular word, which is, it refers to time in general or a period of measured time. And then we have what's called kairos, which is what the word's being used here today in our text. It's referring to really an appointed time, a time that's fixed, a special occasion, those moments or those seasons in our lives where opportunity knocks, that kind of time. And then we have the word redeem, which basically means it's a word that to redeem is to buy back. In Scripture, we find where it's used in the term of buying, you buy a slave. And what you're doing, you're buying the slave, making him your property so you can set him free. That's how that's used in that redeem. So to redeem the time, it means really to buy up all the time. Every opportunity that God gives you, and I'd say our time remaining here on earth so that you might set it free, if that makes any sense. It means not to let one suitable moment or one opportunity to pass you by that's unheeded or that's wasted. And you and I, we're to devote our entire life to the Lord. And it means that we should stop dilly-dallying around and wasting our time. And it's to take advantage of every opportunity possible to serve the Lord. Well, so how do we dilly-dally time? Well, you know, it could be the television. You know, I'm guilty of that, right? The TV. It could be the computer. It could be chatting online. It could be the cell phone. You know, I thought about, you know, for such a connected people, technologically speaking, in our generation, we're probably the most disconnected relationally of any era. You know, the Lord puts us in certain circumstances and places, and He does it for a reason. And He allows our paths to cross with others, and He allows that to happen for a reason. And we should stop and consider really what those reasons are for. I don't believe anything happens by happenstance. Perhaps we're to witness to a lost person. Perhaps we're to encourage someone who's discouraged. Perhaps we're to help heal the wounded. And now that we know what it is to make the most of every opportunity or to redeem that time, well, then I think we need to talk about, well, why we need to make the most of every opportunity. Well, we should make the most of every opportunity because our days truly are limited. You know, time is limited for each one of us. No one's going to live forever on this earth. If you turn with me in your Bible to Psalm chapter 39, verses 4 and 5, 39, 4 and 5. Lord, make me know my end, and what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. And if you turn to Psalm 90, verse 10, it says, As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. You know, the King James says 70. And I remember my Uncle Joe, this was one of his favorite verses that he would talk about. You know, it's 70. You know, we're good for 70 years, and any day after 70 is a bonus. And that's how he put it. He made it to 72. You know, great uncle. You know, it's every day that we have, we get to that 70, anything that happens after that, boy, it becomes that bonus. In James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Now, I noticed today, it's kind of unfortunate because a lot of our young folks are gone because they're sick. Because as I was writing this, I was thinking of the young people that would be in the room. And I wanted them to just look around the room, and there's some of anyone that's younger, and look around the room and you look at all the gray-haired people that are in the room. And you probably think that 70 or 80 years is a long way off. You know, I can remember I thought at one time anybody over the age of 40 was ancient. I don't think that anymore. You know? And all you older folks, you need to look over to anyone who's younger, the younger people. And when you look at that younger person, I want you to tell that younger person, I was like you once. You know? Because it's like that. God has established a set amount of time here on earth for each one of us. And none of us have the assurance of a tomorrow. You know, again, we're one heartbeat away from eternity. And therefore, we need to make the most of every opportunity to redeem each day, and we need to use it to glorify God. Psalm 90, verse 12, if you're still in that same ballpark. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Likewise, to think about those days of the people that are around us, their days aren't certain either. And if we're to make the most of every opportunity, you know, they may never have another chance to hear the gospel. You know, one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, we need to really make the most of every opportunity with the time that we have here. We should make the most of every opportunity because as verse 16 there, if you're back there in Ephesians 5 again, look there what it tells us. It says, make the most because the days are evil. You know, thinking of the city of Ephesus at the time that Paul was there, is that it was a wicked city. It was filled with paganism, debauchery, you know, which is every extreme indulgence that was there, sinful living. Just about every known sin was happening there in Ephesus. And as a result of the environment that they're in, it was imperative for the church there in Ephesus to make the most of every opportunity that they had. Likewise, I would say wickedness is increasing in America. You know, sin of every sort is across the U.S. of A. You know, and I don't think I need to go into any kind of graphic detail here and list all the sins that are happening in us, and I'm using air quotes, our Christian nation, which it is not. You know, you just take a look at the movies that are playing at the theater. You take a look of what's on the shelves of, you know, with the magazines that are happening, even in our libraries. You know, take a look what's currently on the television. You know, the other day there was a commercial. You can't even watch a commercial anymore. It's outrageous. And so I don't think you need much convincing to know or to see that the days that we live in, they're evil. Therefore, it's imperative that we make the most of our time, make the most of our opportunity to redeem that time. And we should make the most of every opportunity because we are the light of the world. You know, during our Christmas services, you know, I mentioned Matthew 5, that, you know, as believers, we are the light of the world. Jesus is the light, and we reflect Jesus' light on this world. You're in Ephesians 5. Take a look at verse 8 of Ephesians 5. You were formerly darkness, but now you know, I can just point to every person here in the room that knows the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, making the most of every opportunity, it's appropriate for the child of God to do. It's fitting for those who are, as we're described here, that are light. You know, you might even say that it's our duty. You know, and we can understand why the unsaved, those that are walking in darkness, that we can understand why they don't make the most of every opportunity. Sometimes I think we wrongly expect the unsaved to live like they're saved. You know, they can't because they don't have a new nature. They don't have the Holy Spirit residing in them like a believer does. And it's also wrong for the Christian to live like a lost person and waste all of the opportunities that God has so graciously given us. So how do we make the most of every opportunity? How do we then redeem the time? Well, taking our cue from 5:8 there, we redeem that time by walking in light. You are light, and it's a R. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, to walk in the light, we need to pursue truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. Okay, so we know that Jesus is the truth, so we need to pursue him. We need to pursue the truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. We know God's word is truth, right? So we must study the word. You know, sanctify, that word sanctify means to set apart. Set apart. Part for something sacred, something holy. And so to walk in light, we need to pursue holiness. 1 Peter 1:15, we're told here, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Now, we just celebrated Christmas. And Christmas is that time where we celebrate the advent, the Jesus's coming, his first coming. We now, as Christians, we wait for his second coming that's going to take place. And so in the meantime, while we're waiting, our lives, each one of us, our lives should display the resemblance of our Heavenly Father. And it's what do we want our Father to find us doing when he returns? When I was in high school, I worked at a hardware store, mom and pop hardware. And, you know, we had other employees. And I can remember times where the boss wasn't there. Wes was his name. Wes would be gone. And when he was gone, you know, we'd gather around the center of the store and kind of hang out and talk and mess around, dilly-dally. You know, we weren't getting stuff done in there. We were just visiting and having a good time. And then we'd see Wes coming across the street to get ready, coming to the store, and it was like we were mice. We just like, poof, scatter. You know, looked like we're doing something. you know, and look busy. You know, as believers, we really must attempt to do only those things that truly are holy and pleasing to the Lord. Attempt to avoid any action that may be considered evil. And what happens is you and I need to follow hard after Christ, being in His Word. And what happens is we get saturated with this. We get saturated with life and truth. And in turn, it will change our behavior and we become more holy. You know, having this right knowledge and right behavior, what it does is it makes us a bright light to shine in a world. And I'll pick on Libby, Montana, because it is a dark place. And there's darkness, there's ignorance, there's falsehood. And the world is full of false philosophies and worldviews. And when we hear a false belief, we need to lovingly shine God's truth on it. We don't need to beat people up. We just need to shine light on it. And when evil deeds are committed, we should not condone it, but we should just shine God's holiness on it. And walking in the light is a good first step in making the most of every opportunity, and it's a good first step for us in redeeming, buying back that time. We also want to make the most of every opportunity by walking in wisdom there. Verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. You know, it's to walk in wisdom, really, it requires some carefulness on our part. In fact, my NASB, if I look up, it has a little text note about that, to be careful. You know, the King James, you know, I refer to it again, it uses the word circumspectly, you know, to maybe diligently. The idea here is that we're to take really some great pains or special pains really to guard against these temptations that are around and to live as we ought. You know, that ethos, the ethics. You know, Christians need to be careful about how they live and spend their time. You know, if a Christian isn't careful, what happens is we may just revert right back to the old ways and we start following after the worldly views. And when you think about the world, it's messed up. You know, the world's wisdom really is, what is it? Well, it's a lookout for number one. Where God's wisdom is, well, let's esteem others better than ourselves. You know, the world's wisdom is eat, drink, because tomorrow you die. Well, God's wisdom would be live for eternity, you know, not the present. The world would say lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, he who dies with the most toy wins, kind of an attitude. But God's wisdom is lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, the world's wisdom when it comes to relationships and men and women and marriages would be, you know, women, you don't need a man. You know, don't submit to your husbands. Well, God's wisdom, as we fact even in Ephesians 5, is that wives, respect your husband. You know, men, the world's wisdom would be, well, use and abuse them. In that, even in that Ephesians 5, God's wisdom would be, you know, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. Be considerate of her. Treat her with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of gracious gift of life. You know, I pick on men as we are to be the protectors and the providers of our families. Make the most of the world's wisdom would be let your kids just run wild. Free range. You know, they'll figure it out. Well, God's wisdom, and it's neat that we're in Ephesians because in 6 there, it's really children, obey your parents. Proverbs, train up your child. You know, you have an opportunity. Don't waste it. Make the most of every opportunity. It's it's not just sin that makes demands on us when it comes to time. Sometimes even good things can make demands on us. You know, and I think of the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In Luke 10, you have this area where Martha, she's just so busy and she's so preoccupied. The word tells us that she's just distracted by all the preparations of everything that's taken place, that she's so busy she fails to spend time really at the feet of Jesus, where really that's the place to be. You know, and this can be a struggle for many of us like that. We should love to sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, we should take advantage of opportunities to witness for Christ, to hear the Word of God being preached to us. I need it. You know, during the week, I have to listen to a sermon or something just to be fed. And it's we need it. We all need it to serve God in some capacity. Well, this morning, in the beginning of this year, this new year that's coming up, is, you know, I want to try to put some shoe leather to it. And what are some practical suggestions, really, to help you make the most of every opportunity? And again, it's not just preaching to you, I preach to myself. As one here is to establish some biblical priorities. You know, God first, family second. Everything else other than that, including work, is after that. You know, come to a decision of who or what is first in your life. You know, a quick look at your checkbook and your calendar makes it pretty easy for us to figure out. Think about who or what gets pushed aside when you get busy or have some financial crunch. You know, it becomes easier for us to figure that out. And if you're going to make the most of every opportunity this year, then God will have to have first place in your life, no matter how busy you get or how tight things get financially. Trust Him. He's got you. He's going to watch after you. This year, schedule some definite time each day to pray, to read, to study. And when I say meditate, that's not sitting cross-legged and doing alms. To meditate is to spend time thinking upon God's Word. You know, but set aside time. Schedule it if you have to. And prayer, you know, we do it here, but hopefully it's happening throughout your day, each day, because there is power in prayer. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for you, your church, this church. Pray for the missionaries that you and we as a congregation support. Pray for the people that are around you. Spend regular and quantity and quality time with your family. And for the men, take your wife on a date once in a while. You know, ladies, be careful not to get so busy with creating a home there that you end up neglecting your husband. And for the parents, the dads and the moms, spend some time with your children. They're growing up fast. You know, and I know your kids always hear that, and as all our kids have grown up, and now we have grandkids, it's true. They grow up fast. The moment you have with them, it's precious. It's going to go by fast. You know, don't let it get away. Make sure that you spend quantity and quality time with your children. Make sure that your family is very high on that list. Have a right attitude towards work. You know, Christians, really, as Christians, we ought to be good workers. You know, I think employers ought to look at their Christian employees and go and say, or somebody should look at them and go, wow, where can I get me one of those? I mean, we ought to be that type of employee. And if you're going to make most of every opportunity in the workplace, is really to give your employer an honest day's work. Christians, we ought not be materialistic. You know, work enough hours to provide for the family, but we need to guard against being a workaholic. And when people say, well, I'm a workaholic, they need to really understand that's neither complimentary or impressive. Nobody's impressed by that. Have a realistic number of commitments. You know, many times we tend to overload ourselves with commitments. And in addition to all the necessary commitments we have, we tend to add optional commitments to that. And sometimes we find parents that they just want to sign up their kids to practically every known activity known to mankind, and they spend countless hours running here and running there, and I know that I'm probably hitting pretty close to home for some of you. Perhaps it might be that we want to limit the number of activities to really a couple of the favorite ones. Which ones do they like, and which ones are they best at? Have the right attitudes towards things, you know, stuff. You know, it's okay not to have the latest and greatest of everything or every gadget or widget. It's okay to have a little wear and tear or scratch or dent on something. It's okay not to have 50 pairs of shoes. It's okay not to have an immaculate house or lawn. You know, the more that you worry about things and the more things that you have, the more of your time that those things are going to take up in your life. It truly is that way. So perhaps some of us are going to wish that we could live our lives over again, but here's the news, is none of us can. We can't do it again. It's impossible. The time for us, you and I, to live for the Lord Jesus is right now. You know, and the time to serve Him, it's right now. And so we need to make the most of every opportunity right now. You know, there's a poem, and it's kind of, I thought about reading the whole poem to you, but it's kind of lengthy, so I won't. But the poem is by C.T. Studd. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's the refrain of that poem. And if you get an opportunity to look that up. But it's like that. C.T. Studd, you know, 70. He lived to be 70. Just making a note of that. You know, I think I hit that big number 70, and I got to realize that, boy, every day after that's going to be a bonus. I want to be found by the Lord being about His business. And I encourage for each one of you, as we enter into this new year, I know you're probably going to have some goals and some dreams, and it's like, well, go for it, you know. But no, we're not guaranteed that next breath. But give it all you got for the Lord. If somebody says, well, you know, we leave people, and I've said it before, you'll be talking with somebody, and as you part, you say, well, take it easy. Well, I don't want to take it easy. I just say, give it all you got. You know, and let's be a people that we just give it all we got this year for the Lord. Father, we do give You the praise and glory this morning. I lift each one up, Lord. I pray that each one sitting here this morning, that You would keep them from all the sicknesses that are going around. Father, I pray as they look at this coming year, that they look at it with some excitement, that we don't get distracted or depressed by whatever's taking place in the news, but we have our heart and our mind focused on You this year. Give us a passion for Your word, that we honestly take a look at maybe how we done last year and say, well, I really want to get into it this year. And Father, I pray that You use them mightily right where they're at in the sphere of influence, that the people that You're going to place around them, give them a heart to love that person that's next to them that they know that doesn't know You, that really is lost. Father, put the words in our mouths to share the saving grace that You have for each one of them. And so, Lord, use us mightily. And I ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.